And so it's all good. And I'm not going to be solely speaking, because our proverb, our whakatauki that we walk with in this house for the next wee while is nā kū te roro, nā ū te roro, ka ora ai te iwi. That means with my basket and your basket, the people will thrive. Yes? Do you know that's 1 Corinthians 14? You need to go read it. Everyone who has something, who brings it together. What for? The building up of the body of Christ. Yes? So it's our whakatauki, and we walk with it. And we walk with it in this whenua, in this land of Aotearoa, New Zealand. Woo! I'm excited. I haven't been. I've actually had a real battle this week, actually several weeks. But I am excited, because God is up to something in quite a big way and quite significantly in Taranaki, by the way. But I really want to introduce to you our wonderful Bronwyn Gilliver, because Bronwyn had an experience, and in this experience, God spoke to her, and she shared with us what God spoke to her about this experience, and we thought, that's really cool. It's actually really good what God spoke to her, and I believe we need to hear her, and then we're going to have some time to allow Holy Spirit to speak, to do some things. Yes? And so Bronwyn, so come on up, Bronny. You know, it says in the Word, if you receive a prophet's reward. If you receive in someone who's an apostolic calling, and you acknowledge that, then you receive that apostolic anointing that they bring in to the place. And I just want you to receive Bronnie not just as a woman of God, but as a powerful woman of God who hears God. She does have a prophetic voice. What's the prophetic? It's just hearing God and translating that so that everybody hears God. Yes? So, Father, we thank you for grace. We thank you for the message. I thank you for the Word that is powerful and living amongst us. Let it be, Lord.
Hello, everyone. Can you hear me okay? Yes, well, this was a phenomenon that happened for both Andrew and I experienced it, but God spoke to me. So. But not, I don't mean that, because I probably needed it. That's the reason. last year, about in October, November, somewhere around that time, God highlighted an aspect of his truth about how he sees me and how I should see myself, through a phenomenon of nature, that I felt that even though I know parts of it, and at times I know it, he wanted me to take more notice, and he presented it in a way that I did take notice, and it spoke to me, and so I approached Chris and Beth and asked if I could share it with you all as well, because I figured if it helped me, then it might help others too, and others might benefit from it as well. So I titled it The Bird at the Window. I thought that was appropriate. So a bird was started tapping at our window from about the early hours of the morning throughout many intervals of the day until dusk. And this, it would fly from one window pane to the other. This was our bedroom window, tapping with its beak and sometimes flapping its wings. The bird was seeing its reflection in the window and thought the bird it could see was another bird encroaching on its territory and a nest that it probably had nearby. Every day, several times a day, this bird continued to carry out its tactics to scare this reflection or other bird away in order to protect its territory. And this went on for about 2 to 3 weeks, many times a day. It seemed very exhausting to me to that it was having to do this. We did feel very sorry for it, but nothing that we tried to do to deflect it and to try and break up the reflection or anything worked. It just continued to do its thing. And this, after this happened, probably about a week or so after, it just stopped. One day it didn't come anymore. And I was reading James 1, and I came across verses 23 and to 24, which say, "Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like." As I read these verses, I immediately remembered the bird who did not recognize his own reflection and thought that what he was seeing was another bird threatening him. This created a situation of repetitive, needless action that was hard work and exhausting for the bird. I felt God was saying that just like that bird didn't recognize his own reflection, so are we when we don't recognize ourselves and who we are in Christ. When we forget who we are as God's sons and daughters and what we look like in his image, then we are like that bird. We end up tirelessly and needlessly attacking ourselves as a perceived enemy, and we waste a lot of time with our tactics to scare the perceived enemy away. We need to see ourselves as God sees us. When we look in the mirror, we need to recognize ourselves how God has made us. We need to declare God's truth over ourselves so that when we look at ourselves in the mirror, what we see is how he sees us. Each of us is made uniquely in God's image. When we beat ourselves up or when we knock ourselves down because we feel like we've fallen short of what we believe we should be aspiring to, we are forgetting what we look like. We are seeing our old selves. But Ephesians 4 verse 24 says, we need to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So we have been clothed in Jesus' righteousness and holiness. That's how God sees us, and we should see that too when we look in the mirror. If we are fearful and doubtful of our giftings and talents and are tempted to want to bury them rather than use them and multiply them, 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Romans 8 verse 37 says we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And 1 Corinthians 3 verse 16 says we are God's temple and God's spirit dwells in us. And how can we forget Matthew 5 verse 13, which says we are the salt of the earth. And verse 14, we are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. And in verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Supposedly, if we listen to the word but don't do what it says, we are like the man looking at himself in the mirror and forgetting who he is. Because Jesus is the word, I see this as meaning that we are doers of Jesus, or we are being Jesus to people and in situations. Also, it's not about getting out there and just doing good works. I took this word to mean more that if the word, which is Jesus, speaks to me and I listen, but for whatever reason I fail to respond to his voice, then I have forgotten who I am and what I look like. Usually when we hear Jesus speaking to us, we want to do what he says, but something might stop us from doing that. It could be anything, such as being convinced that the word he has placed in your heart to give to someone, or speaking out for everyone to hear, is not that inspiring. We might start thinking things like, who on earth am I to think that I could impact anything or anyone with a word from God? Or why would that person want to hear from me? Then that sparks thoughts of other people are way better at singing than I am, or praying, or prophesying. What if I share this revelation and nobody understands what I'm saying? What was I thinking that I might have something of value to say in this situation? If that sounds like you at times, it definitely sounds like me many times. And I realized that every time I had a thought like this, I wasn't seeing myself in the mirror as God sees me. I'm not seeing myself as the salt of the earth with something enriching to share, or the light of the world shining like a beacon with a word of encouragement, or clothed in righteousness and holiness, but instead taking on an appearance of worthlessness, which is rather sad because that is not who I am in Jesus. That's the lies of the enemy attempting to convince me of who I used to be. Or when fear robs me of an opportunity to bless people because I have momentarily forgotten that my spirit is one of power, love, and self-control. And then I think about how much energy that takes out of me. How exhausting it is to listen to those lies and convince myself that the person staring back at me in the mirror is an imposter. The time wasted attempting to tell that imposter that they don't have a right to be there or say this or do that. I've forgotten who I am and that what I have to offer is as good as anyone else. We are all part of the body of Christ. We are all unique in our appearance and how we function, live, and have our being in Jesus. However, if we can't look in the mirror and recognize ourselves how God sees us, then how can we expect others to see us in that way? The bird at the window was such an interesting way for God to get my attention. It was a strong and powerful analogy to show me how futile mine and anyone else's efforts are at targeting ourselves because we don't recognize ourselves. The bird tapping on the window the bird tapped on the window and flew from one window pane to another and back again several times a day from early in the morning until the sun went down. Whilst I think we could have made more of an effort, nothing we did seemed to work to discourage the bird from doing it. This showed me that it is up to each of us to recognize ourselves in the mirror. Others can tell us over and over what we look like, how God sees us, but if we don't believe that and know that for ourselves, then we are like that bird. Our imperfections are covered by Jesus' garments of righteousness and holiness that he has clothed us in. And so we don't have to wait until we are perfect to be doers of Jesus. We just need to remember what we look like in Jesus' eyes in the mirror. And that is my words. So thank you for listening to me today.
Well done. So good, huh? So, we often don't recognize ourselves. Who we are in Christ, but who he is in us. And just so powerfully impacted that it's about Jesus in us. Yes? It's about Jesus in us. Yes? I mean, I know that we're made in the image of God as people. As humanity, we are made in the image of God. Yes? Body, soul, and spirit. And he fills us and he purposes us. But whatever good, however great you are, it comes from God. Some of you are, there's about four of you who agree with that. Okay. It comes from God. Comes from Christ. How many have received Christ as your Savior? You've chosen to believe in Jesus and to follow. How many of you? Oh, there's a few. Great. We'll have a salvation today. Because whatever good and however good you may be, however talented you may be, whatever gifts you have been born with and equipped with, they are nothing without Jesus. They are nothing without acknowledging the author and the finisher of our faith. Yes? And we don't have to be perfect in order to have those talents. Isn't that great? I do celebrate that. I hope you celebrate that because it's really important that we celebrate it in one another, that we do not have to be perfect in order to be right in God. If you acknowledge the blood of Jesus over your life, and that's number one, we acknowledge the blood of Jesus in our lives, then he has forgiven us of all our sins. I find that mind-blowing because it's not just the sins of the past. It's all. That means past, present, future. That's kind of cool. Yes? the struggles that we have to start over, to start a new life, to start afresh, all of those things. We can do it in our own strength, but it will not shift if we do not have the power of salvation within us. We need that. So if you're sitting here today and you think, no, I'm doing good, I've turned over a new leaf, I'm strong and I'm determined and I'm going to do it, I'm going to walk this way, good luck to you, is all I can say. Because you may go a certain way, but without Jesus, there will not be this complete deliverance and salvation and healing. That's why Ephesians 6, the part I read out, I'll just read the bit before that, out of verse 16, it is in the Passion Translation, I'm reading this out, says, in every battle take faith as your wraparound shield, for it is able to extinguish the blazing arrows that come at you from the evil one. Listen, there is a battle going on. There is a war that we wage in this life between good and evil. Is it a balanced war? Uh-uh. Jesus has already done the work. He's already won. He's already won the battle. I can't understand how people think it's just this balance between good and evil. It's Jesus has already done this. He's so powerful. That's why Colossians 2 says, you have the fullness of the Godhead bodily in you. How mind-blowing is that? My word says the fullness. Well, that's not my reality. No, it might not be your reality right now, but the truth is you have the fullness. It just has to be manifested. It just has to come forth. We have to understand it's already in there. It says we have all things that we have need of in Christ Jesus. Oh, well, I don't have enough peace right now. Well, dig into it and find it because it's already there. Begin to profess it. Begin to confess it. Begin to wage a war between the lies, because it says embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance like a helmet to protect your thoughts from lies. Now listen, as great as you are, we all have these little lies. Now the enemy to our soul, they're the ones that tell us continually you're going to stuff up. You know, I've just come to reconcile within myself that I will stuff up because I'm human. Who's with me? But there's grace. It says we have grace and the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Woohoo! If we haven't got peace, it's already in us. We have to find him. Peace is not the quietness of a situation. It's the presence of Jesus. Because he's our Prince of Peace. I've got way off track, but we're doing all right. Are we doing all right? Yep. Because I love what Bronwyn brought. And I love the fact that it's about how we see ourselves. And this, I've only got my Passion Bible here, and I could look it up on my thing, but I don't know the scripture by the Passion Version. I know it by the King James Version. But, Apostle Paul starts in Ephesians. He talks about how God has lavished on us salvation, the gift. He's lavished on us. Do you know what lavish is? It's such an expressive word. Even in King James, it's rich word. It's a lavish. It's like the greatest of jewels and the finest of robes and the greatest of food. It's lavished on you. Everything is lavished on Zoe. All of God's love is lavished on Zoe. She's bathed in it. She's wrapped around in it. She's filled with it. She's walking in it. And he's walking with her and just bring it on. Because that's how we should all be feeling. Yeah? And so the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 1, verse 17, he says, I pray to the Father of glory that he would give you the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you might know him better. You might know him better. You know, he kept saying, I pray, Father God will continually, I pray that he will give you. You know, if you're struggling or if you're in a battle, pray for the spirit of revelation. Pray for the spirit of wisdom. Because if you're like me, sometimes life circumstances have lied to you about the goodness of God. Or people have lied to you about the goodness of God. People have told you you're unworthy. People have told you there's no hope. People have told you that you are no good. It's not, it might be your reality that they've told you, but it's not your truth if you live in Christ. It's not. Because in him, all the fullness of God is there. All the deliverance, all the healing, all the salvation. He is so powerful. You know, I got such reminders. We've worked on this with Bronnie this week and heard a word. I've been reminded of the power of Jesus. Because Apostle Paul goes on in Ephesians 1, he says not only that you would know him better, but that you would understand what the hope of your calling is in Christ Jesus. And then he takes it further. What you are, the inheritance of you, the saints, that is in Christ Jesus. Do you know you are Jesus' inheritance? Do you know that he paid a price for you to be his inheritance? Do you know that you are his when you receive Jesus? You're not some follower. You are his. Because what happens when we slip up and we stumble and we fall, we think, oh, I'm no longer following Jesus. Who cares right now in that place, in that point? Because you're still his. So you can get up in him. You can walk again in him. You can stand straight in him again, because as he has been resurrected, so have you. I've been resurrected heaps of times. I have thrown myself off the abyss down into the depths of the sea. I have literally done everything I possibly could to destroy myself at times. He is risen up because he's so gracious and he's so merciful. Says he forgives all our iniquities. All. Not just our sins, our iniquities. Do you know the difference? Sins are our intentional doing. We know what's right and we know what's wrong. Yes? But iniquities are things that we don't have an understanding of what we've done, but we've done wrong. It's the difference. And it says in Psalm 103, it says he forgives all our sins and all our iniquities. So even in the stuff we don't intentionally mean to do, even in the stuff that we don't have a revelation of what we're doing. But then he doesn't stop there in Ephesians 1. And I can't read it out because I haven't got the other translation. But it goes something like this, the inheritance he has in the saints, and the exceeding great power that is towards them who believe. I'm sorry, I'm emphasizing things. Just feel like there needs to be a dart go in there, you know, like fire a bullet, fire a gun, come on, you know, be hit with the power of Jesus. So if you go back to the beginning, he says the Father God, the Father of glory would give you the spirit of revelation and the spirit of wisdom, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you would understand what is the exceeding great power that is towards those who believe. And it goes on to talk about the name of Jesus that is far above all rule and authority, dominion and power, and every title that can be named in this world and in one to come. And then it goes on, it says, unto him be the glory in the church. Unto him be the glory in the what? In the what? You're glorious. I'm only on the first part. But I'm going to skip a whole lot. See, in Revelation 3, when the Spirit is addressing the Laodicean church, it says, what's the remedy of being lukewarm? What's the remedy of being feeling mediocre in God? It's by ourself. One of the things is to by ourself, to wash your eyes, to wash how you see. I love that bird analogy of the going, how exhausting it was for that bird to keep pecking at something which they thought was an enemy, but it's just a reflection of themselves. How often do we get when we get tired of trying to do good? Only because we're battling ourselves. It's right, Ben. Ourselves. We're battling ourselves. We're battling the flaws. We're battling the vulnerabilities. We're battling the intimidations that the enemy can bring at us. That's why he says at the end of Ephesians, acknowledge him, put him on, let his wraparound presence come around you so that, like a helmet, to protect your thoughts from lies. You know, age old issue. You know, I've had a real battle this last 2 weeks, and I hate the fact that I often live out the word. It's just, just does my head in. But you know, Genesis, I had a wonderful conversation with someone. We went walking, and it was an amazing conversation. And right now, they're in just this incredible blessing of God over their lives, and I'm just feeling like, woe is me, send me to the garden so I can eat worms. Mood. Anyone go there? There's a few of us. I feel comforted. But you know that we were talking about stuff and talking about faith, and she said, you know, it's just the age-old problem from Genesis. That challenge. Has God said? Has God said? You know, Jesus had to face that in the wilderness. Has God said? And he combated it by saying, God says. You know, how much do we need to hear what God says in this day and hour? Oh my gosh. How much do we need to hear what God says? There's a lot of opinions out here, folks. There's a lot of opinions even in this room. Because we all have one. There's a lot of opinions in the world. How much do we need to hear what God says? Because what he says for you, for Dave and Lynn to do, he may not say for me to do. We have to hear what God says. Above opinion. Above good, great, godly opinion. We have to hear what God says. Not what our fears say. Like Bronwyn. Yeah, I love that. You know, God has not given us a spirit of fear. Not what other people of the same opinion say. But what God does God say? You know, Emma Stark, there's a rising prophetic voice, a woman out of Ireland called Emma Stark, and she had a podcast just recently, and she said, we come to Jesus, it so struck me, she says, we come to Jesus individually, and we need to. We need to acknowledge him as our personal savior, yes? But we live out being in Christ together. We live it out corporately. We come to Jesus individually. We have to acknowledge him as our Lord and Savior. We have to acknowledge that his blood was shed for us personally. I think it's a real big deal. It wasn't just for Deepak. His blood just wasn't for Deepak only. Sometimes we can look at each other and we go, oh, well, that's okay for them. They're great in God. They're amazing. They're powerful as this man is. His faith is extraordinary. What he does and how he serves is amazing. And we can look at ourselves and go, ooh, oh, maybe not. I'm not quite at that level. Wrong. That's actually wrong thinking. Because we're at our level together. Well, Deepak brings, I can't bring, but what I bring, Deepak can't bring. Sorry. You know, we come to Jesus individually, but we live out being in Christ together. There is such an opinion out here that it's me and Jesus and we're all good. Really? Have you been baptized yet? Because we baptize into the body. Into the body. These gatherings are good. It says, as the day approaches, forsake not the gathering of yourselves together. It doesn't talk about numbers. But do it often. I love the fact of what Bronnie brought on 2 Corinthians 4. You know, Chris and I, when we came into leading this house, this was the only scripture of why I said yes to following him. Because I had a choice. We had choice. Kind of, because it really was a call. But I had a choice to obey the word. And that's what I loved about what Bronnie brought out about the obedience of the word out of James. It's not just about a task of obedience. It's about a being of obedience, staying in Christ. But 2 Corinthians 4 verse 7 says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, earthly vessels, jars of clay, fragile things that crack at any moment, that chip at any moment. But the treasure of God, the fullness of the Godhead bodily is in them. Woo! Kind of cool, huh? So I thought that's okay. Because it's cracked and it's chipped and as vulnerable as I might feel or as I might look, it's about him, and it's not about me. It's about Jesus. It's not about me. When God has prompts a thought into your head and you say, oh, I don't know if I'm worthy to do that. I don't know if I have the ability to do that. I don't know if I have the grace to do that. Just think on that. That's why we need to know the word of God. Yes? Because it's so comforting to know that you do not have to be this perfect vessel. Isn't that great? You know, I love the fact that we're getting away from religion. We're breaking the pots of religion because religion would say, no, 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 no. Hold on a minute. You haven't read your Bible today. You can't minister. You haven't been to Bible school. You haven't done this. You haven't done that. You haven't bowed. You haven't curtsied. You haven't taken communion. You've slipped up. You've messed up. You still have the fullness of the Godhead bodily in you. So you can bring it out. And I haven't got a picture here, but in Japan, they have this technique that they do with broken pots and broken vessels. And instead of discarding them, they fill the cracks and the holes with gold. And they're extraordinary. And when they do this, they become the most valuable items. There's a name for it. Who knows the name? Because I've forgotten it. Starts with K. I don't know. It's a technique. Look it up. It's awesome. But how good is that? I love the fact that in every culture there is God. There is the God story. There is the God way. There is the God speaks in every culture. And in the Japanese culture, that's what he's shown. And I got so mesmerized by that because it meets 2 Corinthians 4 verse 10. We don't necessarily have to wave this thing around. We can see God in every part of our lives. We can see him in a bird that taps on the window for days on end. We can hear his voice because we carry him. We don't have to be perfect. We don't have to have it all together because we carry him, his presence. That means, oh, I'm going to get you to do this. you're powerful. I want to turn you to turn to the person on your left and say, you are powerful. And Jesus. Now, if you don't know Jesus, you can know Jesus. And so if you don't know Jesus today, come up and we will introduce you to the loving, loving hand of Jesus. The loving hand of Jesus. Now I want you to turn to the person on the right and I want you to say, I am powerful. Which was harder? Which was harder? So much easier to say to a person, you are powerful in Christ. But for me to stand in front of you going, I'm powerful in Jesus. I'm powerful in Christ. You know, Chris sang that song, Jesus above us, before us, behind us, that St. Patrick's, part of St. Patrick's prayer. It's an extraordinary prayer. But it's just our truth. And if we have Jesus, who's Jesus? It's not a good philosophy. It's not a great way of living, although he is. He's not a bless me club, although he is. He just loves to bless. You know, I still struggle with that. Who wars with that? Yeah? Yeah, we got to stop that. All right, join me. We're going to stop it together. If we have Christ, then we have the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Let that blow your mind. Let that blow your soul. Let it blow your spirit, because you carry the power of God wherever you go, whether you feel like it or not. Our feelings can be so deceptive. Okay. It's one thing to see ourselves, and it's another thing to see each other. So easy to say to someone, you're more powerful, but it's also easy to look at other people and go, ooh, that's not so good, that's not so good, that's not so great. You know, we're only held by the love of God. We're held by the love of God. Yes? For God so loved the world, he sent his only son. We're held by the love of God. At the essence of Jesus is the love of God for us. That's why when Jesus ascended and went into heaven, he said, there's one command I give you, a new command I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And then somewhere in this book, because I can't remember, it says, you know, that we can't love others unless we love ourselves. We're held in the love of God. Yes? And the love of God in 1 Corinthians tells me, and I always get annoyed when people truck it out at weddings. I just sort of feel, it's like Psalm 23. I get annoyed when that trucks out at funerals. And Psalm 23 is called a psalm of life, not a funeral psalm. Same as 1 Corinthians 13. It's not the wedding scripture. It doesn't have that titled in my Bible. It says, it's just about the love of God, and we're held in the love of God. And the love of God is patient and is kind. Forgives all, bears all. Look at it from your own self when you look at yourself and when you look at others. It bears all things. Isn't that great? Sometimes I just can't bear the dirty washings. Didn't make it to the dirty washing pile. Made it beside the dirty washing pile. It's like, how can that not be? You know? There's people in my household who've played basketball. They missed the basket. Apostle Paul says, be kindly affectionate to one another. You can't read Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, and they go all together, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and understand that we are called to love one another without a doubt. Because if we're loving one another, then what? We are loving ourselves. Because we are the body of Christ. That's how come we have our ahuatanga on the wall. There are manu, our birds, and with them the values of this house that have been framed out of a real passionate desire of the people who have remained in leadership in this house, that we walk together in a new way of fulfilling the command of Jesus, that we hold each other in love, arohatia, we practice kindness. Kindness has become important because it's important to Jesus. That we practice hospitality, manaakitanga. That we hold a truth, nako pono. We hold truth, hold sincerity, self-awareness. Because when we do that for ourselves, we do it for each other. Yes, it's a to and from. The obedience to the word of God in James that Bron brought is just so amazing, because we have to believe it not just for ourselves but for each other, because we are the body of Christ. You all good? I don't know how to land it. That's all right. I'm going to finish with this little bit. Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. That's Colossians 3 verse 1. I'm reading out of the Passion Translation, but other translations said, if you you have been raised in Christ as he has been raised, you have been raised in Christ. Yes? Yes. Again, go back to the beginning. You are in him. If he's been raised, then you have been raised. Yes? Everything about Jesus is you, because you have him. You are filled with him. If you feel like you're lacking, just come to him. Ask him. Tell the lies that say you have nothing in God to kindly go away. Or not kindly. Yes, be kind to others, not to lies. Deal with them. You know, that was one of the failings of the nation of Israel when they were in the book of Judges, was that they learnt to live with the opposition. They grew comfortable with what attacked them. And they reconciled this peace, which wasn't really peace. In fact, they lost their identity. Let's stop losing our identity in Christ. Yes, who's with me? Who's with me? Let's do this together, because I am not standing up here perfect. Colossians 3, verse 12 says, you are always and dearly loved of God. Some of us need to hear that on a regular basis. Read Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians together. They're really great to read together. They don't take long, they're quite short. So robe yourself with virtues of God, since you have been divinely chosen to be holy. Woohoo! Yeah? Oh, not me. Yes, you! Be merciful. I feel like I'm Tony Anthony right now. God bless him. We remember him. You know, I stopped at every sentence and said something. I'm going to stop. Be merciful as you endeavor to understand others, and be compassionate, showing kindness to all. Be gentle and humble, unoffendable in your patience with others. I know a lot of you have been very patient with me. Thank you. tolerate the weaknesses of those in the family of faith, forgiving one another in the same way you have graciously forgiven, being forgiven by Jesus Christ. If you find fault with someone, release the same gift of forgiveness to them. For love is supreme and must flow through each of these virtues. Love becomes the mark of true maturity. Let your heart always be guided by the peace of the Anointed One who called you to peace as part of his one body, and always be thankful. Let the word of Christ live in you richly, flooding you with all wisdom, applying the scriptures as you teach and instruct one another with the psalms, with festive praises and with prophetic songs given to you spontaneously by the Spirit. So sing to God with all your hearts. Woo! I'm going to ask the music team to come up. I'd love you to stand. And in this space and in this time, I want you to be, ask God questions. You know, it's really good to ask God questions. Yes? Psalm 51 says, David says, you know, try me and search me. No, I think it's Psalm 139, pardon. Psalm 139, but try me. Find whatever wicked way. Don't be afraid about the wicked way. The wicked way can just be lies that you're holding about yourself. Because that's a wicked way. Yes? We've allowed them to sit in us. We've allowed them to, we've owned them, and we cannot own them anymore if Jesus is going to be powerful amongst us. Yes? Because he is. Because you just said you were powerful. So don't go back on me now. And don't go back on each other now. So there may be lies we're addressing. There may be lies that said everyone deserves something better than I do. It may be lies that, well, I've messed up so much now, I can't come back. Listen, if you're like that, just come see me. There may be lies like I've had the end of my days. I want to talk to the most glorious ones amongst us, our older folk who have been changed by glory unto glory for decades. You might not be as physically able as some of us, but the power of God has not aged. It does not age. He still lives powerfully amongst you, in you, around you, underneath you, over you, in you, through you. There may be lies like, oh, well, I don't have enough, so I'll just wait till I've got enough before I serve. There might be lies like, well, someone's more gifted than me. It's Bronnie brought out. I once complained to my husband when I was in one of those worm moments. If I just had the same amount of talents even as my children, I'd be fine. I just have this half talent. And he said, you're wrong. God said one talent, five or ten. Take your pick. You don't have a half talent. You don't have a portion of a talent. You have at least one or five or ten. Take your pick. Because you contain the fullness of the Godhead bodily in you. If you have the omnipotent, omnipresent God inside of you, if you have asked Jesus into your life, you have that inside of you. Ask him. Ask him what he's put in your hand. Ask him where he wants to lead your feet. Ask him how much he wants you to give. Whew, it's a scary one. Oh, I've given and I've given for years. Well, he's omnipotent, he's omnipresent, he is forever, and so now are we in him. So is there a wall that's risen up. Maybe because of offense with others. Maybe because of even offense with the Word of God. Maybe because our reality has seemed quite harsh and we can't find the goodness and the compassion that we really need to walk ahead. But you have that in you and we have it for you. You know, we come to Jesus individually, but we live him out corporately. Do not remain remote. Do not isolate yourself off because you will be picked off. That is a good tactic of the enemy. I just want to finish. Let's just put a hand on our heart. And if you've professed Jesus, just speak his name. Jesus, my Jesus, far above all rule and authority, dominion and power, and every title that is in this world and the one to come. You are my Jesus, the name above all names. Invite the power of God into your lives. Lay down some of your lies. If you know that you have a lie, if you know that something speaks to you that's not according to the love of God, that's not according to the love of the Father, that is not according to the love of the Holy Spirit with us. You know, to lay your lies down, you need to acknowledge them. You know, say, I have believed that. Now I let that go. I renounce that lie. Sometimes you need to forgive the person who has sown that lie or the situation that has sown that lie or even your offense towards God because of the situations that you find yourself in. So simple to do. We've got communion here, and I really, really encourage you, if you need to take it, take it. But if you're living with a stronghold of a lie, embrace the salvation of Jesus over your life. If he is resurrected, you are too. You are too. Let's start a new Me Too movement. Father, we choose the obedience to your word today over our lives and over our body of Christ that we live in. Thank you for all that you have done for us, Jesus. You just thank him. Thank him. You know, as we finish, we just want to invite you, Chris and I want to invite you to our place, 10B Woodley Street, for lunch. If you don't have something to share, just come. We've got some extra food. If you've got a picnic lunch and you've been prepared, come. We really want to see you. 10B Woodley Street, don't come down the driveway. We've got multiple cars everywhere. But walk down the driveway. Come and see us. Come and hang out. There's a benediction that Apostle Paul uses regularly, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. I'm going to read it in Te Reo Māori, to the best of my ability. And then in English, Kia tau, kia tātou katoa. Te atawhai o tō tātou ariki, ihu kuraiti. Me te aroha o te atua, me te whiwhinga tahitanga, ki te wairua tapu ake ake amene. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all forever and ever. Amen. Just want to sing a chorus? I don't know what you...